this time, I'm going to be inviting Brother Jeff Butler to come and share God's word with us this morning. But a reminder, as our missionaries come in, they come in with no promise of any financial support or even I'm trusting that God will provide for their needs. And so if God has laid it on your heart today to give towards them in terms of a love offering, I forgot to say that before, the offering, so you can still give tonight for that. You can also even give this morning. You could put back in the King's Chester in one of these white boxes, and we'll make sure that gets to them as well. So I didn't want to forget that opportunity for you. But Brother Jeff, would you come and open up God's word for us?
Well, we can turn this morning to one of the most famous passages in Scripture, John chapter 3, and I'll let you guess the verse. 16. That's a pretty good guess. While you guys are turning there, I have to admit something. All right, I was growing up just north of Pittsburgh. I was one of those Flash Lake kids. Anybody know what I mean by that? Well, here, let me draw up a little story for you, okay? My dad was an auto mechanic. Not necessarily as a paid job, but he was just naturally gifted at working on cars. Anybody else have this story in their life? Dad's downstairs working on a project in the garage or basement, and it's late. The lighting, you know, is not that great down there. And you're wondering at that time whether your dad is thinking that God designed him wrong and where that third arm is, because he could really use it at that point. And then he realizes, oh, wait, I have a kid that's not doing anything, probably other than playing video games. I can use him or her. And so I was always called down to be the flashlight holder for my dad and all of his projects. I don't know if any of you have ever asked a child to hold a flashlight, but how's that usually go for you? Not very good. So, it's dark. You need light. You can't see the project you're working on. And the person that you haven't hired, but you should expect to at least do their job for 5 minutes, is all over the place. At least with my dad, it was always underneath the hood of a car. And it was like, I'm like, over here, and then over here, and then over here, and over here. Dad, what's this? What's this? Next thing you know, I'm at the brake fluid canister going, what's that do? And my dad's finally like, this is not working out. Please go back up and do whatever you were doing. And I was like, no, actually, Mom had me doing dishes. I'd rather do this. What's this? Right? You're just all over the place. It's not working. You just need light on a specific area so that you can find whether or not that nut or bolt is SAE or metric, which, just word of advice, is probably metric anymore. So just that one's for free. You can keep that one. But I don't have to continue this story. You guys know how this works. The kid gets distracted and starts asking a bunch of questions that are all good questions. What's this? How does this work? What's this do? Why does it stink down here? All those questions, good questions, but they're not relevant to the task at hand, is it? Well, here in John chapter 3, we have a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is as curious as they come. He is asking Jesus a bunch of different questions about what it's like to be born again. How is that even possible? All these different questions. And just like a son, or a child helping their dad working on a car, Nicodemus is asking all these questions, but none of them are relevant to the task that Jesus has at hand here in John chapter 3. I also think it's relevant this morning with our story that Jesus, the Son of God, refers to himself here as the light that has come to pierce the darkness of man's sinful condition through love. So let's look at this passage from that perspective this morning. We're going to start in John 3:16. Now, I could ask any one of you to come up here this morning and recite it. And even if you don't like public speaking and you start nervously shaking and you hold your hands and all of a sudden everything's starting to go like this, you could probably still quote John 3:16 to me. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take a little extra time on this verse. As a youth pastor, anytime I would go through a verse that I knew the kids memorized in Awana or Word of Life Club or anything like that, I always wanted to make sure that we stopped and we took a good hard look at that verse now in our lives. Because when your kids, at least my kids right now in Awana, they're just trying to get the candy or the sucker that comes with saying their verse right now, right? That's their motivation, is make mom and dad proud and I get a piece of candy if I say it right. And right now, in our lives, our realities look completely different as adults. So let's read John 3:16 as if we've never seen or heard it before. For God, now this is John writing down these words of Jesus. For God, who is Jesus' Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Remember, Jesus is talking about himself here. It's kind of odd when we talk in the third person about ourselves in a conversation. But Jesus is fully God and fully man, telling Nicodemus what God has done for the world. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. That's a countercultural thing right there. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who was very much a part of the Jewish teachers' society. Whoever believes. Jesus is enlightening Nicodemus to the fact that he's here for everyone. Greeks, Gentiles, Jews, everyone. Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What? Everlasting life? I thought when you die, you die. And if you're a Jew, God has something for you, but that's with the Messiah coming and all of those other things that they learned about in the Old Testament. What is this everlasting life? And we're not going to die? How does that work, Jesus? And then he goes into verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Another thing that flies right in the face of everything the Jews were taught. They thought the Messiah was going to come down and what? Establish his political authority on earth, and that kingdom with the Messiah would be how God collects his people and everything will be good for the Jews. Once again. No, Jesus himself here as fully God and fully man in verse 17 says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, what Jesus is relating here to Nicodemus to is, the Son of God didn't have to come down and condemn the world because we're all sinners. We're already condemned. We already don't meet up to God's standards. God can't even look at sin. And our punishment for that is hell. Darkness, eternally. Separation, eternally, torment, eternally. That's what we've already earned. The wages of sin is death. But then Jesus here, in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may clearly be seen, that they have been done in God. Now that's our passage this morning. Let's look at it even more carefully to see what this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus really means for us right now. In verse 16, we see this most popular verse in the Bible. You see it almost, if you turn on the ball game later today, you're going to see a sign, right? Somebody holding it up between the uprights, going John 3:16. You see it everywhere. There's a whole really cool video about Tim Tebow and his 3:16 against my Steelers that day. All these different kind of mystical things about John 3:16, right? But it's really simple. This is the gospel. This is missions. Whether it's here in South Charleston, whether it's in the East Coast of America, or whether it's all across the world, this is the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the truth in that that we all know. We learned that truth if you grew up in church. And if you didn't grow up in church and you came to know the Lord later in life, you probably at least had an awareness of this verse. I want us to stop and just realize and recognize the beauty that is in this verse. That Almighty, already eternal, completely perfect God sent his Son to become a complete, full, 100% man, live the life that you and I live, and not just in a white-collar setting, not to hold a fancy office job in a corner office, but to be a carpenter, to be born in a stable, to live a life that we are all familiar with, its heartaches and its hard times, and be completely perfect through that. And yet at the same time be 100% God and save people from diseases that did not have medicine, to get rid of demons inside of people that everybody else in society and in their family just cast out because they were too much. This is the God who sent his Son to save the world. And it was his only Son. We're coming up on this season. We've got Harvest Festival coming up, and then we've got Thanksgiving, and then the next big one that my kids are all excited about because Amazon and Walmart just sent out their fancy-dancy flyers. We've been looking at the toys for Christmas. What do we celebrate during Christmas? Jesus' birth. God's only begotten Son coming down to earth as a child. We celebrate that. Why? Because of this verse right here. Because God sent him down so that the whole world might be saved. One of the biggest things that I get asked, sometimes as a missionary, but also just as a former pastor, is about evangelism. Like, Jeff, what's your take on evangelism? Or what's your, you know, theory on this way of evangelizing? And all these different things. Because you have a whole bunch of ways that you can share the gospel with, right? Well, one of the biggest things that comes up today is that people just generally don't think they're bad people. Right? You see that in our society today. It works itself out in some ugly ways that we see on the news. But for the most part, people don't understand and don't believe they're sinners. They think they're just naturally good. And that their truth is okay. And as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, whatever that means, it's okay to live that way. No, that's the first step of the gospel that we as a church need to start confronting in our society in a very kind and compassionate way, is that we are all sinners. We are all born with the capability to do really bad things, to hurt people, to hurt ourselves. We are not good naturally. We are descendants from Adam. We've sinned and we have sin nature in our beings. We need saving from that. And getting that right up front is so important. Because if we think we're just naturally good and we just need Jesus sprinkled into our lives whenever we do mess up, the power of Jesus is completely gone in that belief structure. It's just an extra dessert that we throw in on our spiritual lives. Jesus isn't leftovers or dessert. He's our whole life. He's the main course of our spiritual life. He was sent to save, not condemn. We've already condemned ourselves. We've already earned the wages of sin. He was sent to save us. Jesus was God's amazing rescue plan. I don't know if any of you have the Jesus storybook Bible, but we read that almost every night to our kids, and it's like amazing, never giving up, never ending, always and forever love. And I've never read a children's book that has made me want to just go to my knees and thank God for how amazing his love is, just by the way it's written. It's an amazing book. But we see that God's amazing rescue plan through Jesus. Sin separated us. Jesus justified. Sin was satisfied. People were pardoned, and God is still good. God is good all the time. Even in our trials, even in our hard times, God is good. He had this plan for the whole world, which means you were included in that. This isn't just John 3:16, big world view of everything that we've ever done. No, this is also very personal. Jesus came to save the sins of the entire world. Whoever believes in him, that's you, that's me. Jump down to verse 18. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I was always taught in college, in Bible college, that if something is repeated in the Bible, you probably want to see why it's repeated. You probably want to pay attention to that, because it's probably a general theme that the author is trying to get across. And if you're a little lack in your knowledge of the Bible, that's okay. The author is God. Now, he had humans write it, but these are God's words to us. And if God repeats something in his word, he wants us to get it. And this word believe keeps popping up here in 16 and 17 and 18. And believe today, you know, in a word way, is kind of mystical. It seems to be kind of, I don't know, fluffy. Like somebody would be like, oh, I believe in this, or I believe. Or you'll see it, especially in Christmas time, in Hallmark movies coming up, right? Believe is always a theme of all those Hallmark movies, whether or not you believe that the story is actually real, or because you've watched one, you've seen them all. Oops, did I give that away? Sorry. But believe is always in, though, that general theme. But what is belief? Are we comfortable with how we share the word of God to other people that we know what the word belief in Jesus means? Thankfully, we have resources and books and training documents to help us. And one of those ways is to look at the actual word in the original language and see what it means. And it says, belief is to have faith. To put your faith into. In, upon, or with respect to a person or thing. So to have faith, especially one's spiritual well-being, to Christ. To believe. Here's another one that has a little bit more traction in today's society. To commit. To put in trust with. When I read those, it brought belief to life for me a little bit more. It helped me understand and visualize that I'm committing to Jesus. Anyone who believes in Jesus or commits their life to Jesus, gives their life over, allows Jesus not only to be the Savior of your life, but also the Lord of your life. See, at EBI, one of the things that we are very passionate about is the gospel-centeredness of our resources. And that's because a lot of people in America today, but also in the Spanish-speaking world, they see Jesus as all love, just like we're studying about here today. Jesus is love. God is good. He's my Savior. But they're unwilling to accept that he's their Lord. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're being freed from that sin that you have. Jesus has paid that price. You're believing in that. You're committing your life to that. but you're also saying, God, your way is better than my way, and you get to direct my paths every step from here on out. He's now your Lord. He's now the one that you seek when you're running into a tough situation and you don't know what to do. And then we get to light and darkness in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, this is pretty true, right? How many of you grew up in a home where mom or dad or grandma and grandpa said, now you be home before 10 or midnight because nothing good happens after midnight, right? Well, we've all heard that in one way, shape, or form. And for the most part, it's true. But we sure do love our darkness. We love our secrets, don't we? We've built an entire industry, a media industry, on darkness and secrets and back talkings. All these things. Reality TV is full of entertaining darkness. But Jesus is the light. And just like the kid with a flashlight, even though he might not be shining it right where you need it to shine, if there's light in that darkness, which one's going to win? Every time, no matter what, light will always beat the darkness. Every time. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. We like to hide things. We like to keep our secrets in deep, dark closets. Now, that sounds worse than it is, but there are a lot of things that we've done in our lives that we don't want other people to know. And sometimes those other people are the ones that need to know. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. I love Jesus' response here to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is asking him a ton of questions. God, what about this? God, how does that happen? Is that even possible? Jesus, what about this? And Jesus sits down with Nicodemus. Notice, this isn't a lecture. This isn't a classroom type, this is how God has sent his son, and here are the 5 points of how he did that. No, discipleship happens in the arena of real life. And Jesus is walking beside Nicodemus here going, hey, I'm going to take time for some of your questions. And then there are some of your questions that, whoa, they're good questions, but that is not mission pertinent right now. This is what God has done. He takes time, he cares for Nicodemus as a person, and then reveals the truth to him. And another person in Scripture, and we'll close with this, that did that very well was the Apostle Paul. And so turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. We'll close kind of with this, and I'll ask a few application questions, and then I'll turn it back over. Paul says here, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He's talking to the church of Ephesus here. He's talking to people who are believers, who have committed to Jesus. Walk as children of light. You see, now that Jesus has come into our lives as our Lord and Savior, he has sent the Holy Spirit to come live inside of us. We have God as Christians living inside of us, and now we get to carry his light everywhere we go, wherever we go, and share that with our actions, with our words, and with our manner in which we live. That sounds like a big task, but it should also be an exciting, joyous moment that you, no matter where you go, what you do, or who you meet, get to share the love of God every single day. And it doesn't have to look like giving the Romans road to every person you meet. It can just be going up to the cashier at McDonald's, who just looks like she's had a bad day because maybe two customers in front of you, their order didn't come out well, and that person didn't know how to treat other people well. Well, how are you in that moment going to treat them? How are you going to show them God's love? That might not be the perfect time or the perfect opportunity to hand them a gospel tract and give them the Romans road. But it might be a perfect opportunity to display compassion and kindness, say in a couple extra pleases and thank yous and make eye contact with them. And you never know how far that will go. Chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And here's our application. I tried to write down some application points, and then I just found this, and I was like, you know what? Paul's a much better writer than I am, so let's just take his words. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21, sometimes we don't want to read, but Paul has it in there, and submitting one another in the fear of God. You see, God sent his Son as the God of the world. He's the creator God who made everything around us. He is the one who sovereignly placed us in this time, in this generation, to bring about what he wants done on this earth. And I get the world is bad right now. We can all agree with that. But that doesn't mean that God is not at work. God is at work in our lives today, as much as he's ever been in the entire world. So let's flip the script, church, on how we view the world. Yes, it's sinful. It's bad. It can be dangerous, and it is scary. There is fear all around us. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a hope above all hopes. You have a joy above all joy. You have a compassion that can truly reach people and grab people's hearts to have a conversation with them to help change their life back to God. The world's bad because we're bad. We're sinners. The world's run by a bunch of sinners. But God sent his only begotten Son to this world to save, not condemn. And he's using us in the process to let people know that, hey, hello, you can be saved. Let's do more of that. You have a perfect opportunity this weekend to show the love of Christ in word and deed at your Harvest Festival. Show up and just have a conversation with somebody. Get to know their name. Get to know where they live. Like a good Baptist preacher, I'll give you 2 P's on what to look for when you're having a conversation or an evangelistic thing. Ready? What are they prideful about? And not in a sinful way, but what are they proud about? And what are their pains? Just start with those 2 little questions. What are they proud of? And what are their pains? And just get to know them from there. And watch God work in giving you opportunities for you to give him glory in that conversation and for you to invite them to church next Sunday. It'll be amazing. So 3 final questions and we'll be done. Have you stepped into the light? Maybe you're here this morning and this whole Jesus thing is completely new to you. Or maybe you've stepped in here this morning because Jesus was a part of your childhood, but then you walked away. And now, for whatever reason, you've stepped back into the walls of a church, and today's the day that God wants you to come back home. Have you stepped into the light? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you committed personally to him? If you have, are you piercing the darkness with the light that lives inside of you? Are you doing all that you can to bring glory to God in every situation, or are you hiding your light under a bushel? And what works are you bringing to the light? You see, salvation's not dependent on our good works, but salvation gives us the opportunity to use our good works for God's glory. God has clearly called Mandy and I and our family to EBI. That was not what we necessarily chose, but God has clearly called us to that. And so we're working towards that measure. What are you doing? What works are you adding out of the love of God to help your family, to help this area of the world, to help your workplace, to help your home? How is God working in your life so that you can work his glory throughout the rest of your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for John 3:16. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word and the freedom that we have in this country to do what we're doing today. Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you so much for loving us. Father, we want to take a moment and just allow your spirit to be alive inside of us. Work on our lives and our hearts as we go through the rest of the service and the rest of today. And God, I pray that we would listen to however you whisper and however you lead in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, church and friends, you have heard a message of the light of Christ.